This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Chuck Hinman, filling in this week for Dave Fallon. And joining me is co-host and Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Chuck.
Our guest today is Dr. Sylvia Maxfield, Dean of the Providence College School of Business. Welcome to Rhode Island Public Radio, Dr. Maxfield. Thanks for coming in to talk to us.
Thank you.
So I wanted to start out, we wanted to talk a little bit about the Rhode Island economy. And I think a good place to start is the recent report presentation called Make It Happen 2.0, which, you know, was a collaboration between the Rhode Island Foundation, which had done the first version of Make It Happen, and the Rhode Island Commerce Corporation. And they had a lot of public meetings, and they engaged a consultant to sort of describe how they think the Rhode Island economy should develop moving forward. Do you have any thoughts on what came out of that?
Yeah, actually, I had been on the job here in Rhode Island at the Providence College School of Business for about a week when I went to Make It Happen 1.0. So I've been following their progress ever since. You know, it was an incredibly comprehensive report. I think it was a great process because it engaged so many people. You know, there was a lot in it. There are a couple of pieces that I think are really important to highlight. One is the focus on cross-sector collaboration, you know, which is both economic sectors and, you know, the public and private collaboration. I think we have a lot of great examples of that taking hold here. You know, they talked about the business ecosystem, and I thought that was really code for regulatory reform.
Yeah, that's a common theme, right?
Which I think is much needed.
Collaboration, there's a lot of talk in that. I mean, there's been talk about that in the state through the STAC, the Science and Technology Advisory Council, has been making grants, collaborative grants for years. There's talk in very many sectors about that. It's talked about a lot. Is it really difficult to accomplish? Is that your experience?
Well, it means a lot of different things. You know, one of the pieces of the dialogue I like is the collaboration between sectors. So talking about how innovation is really to be found at the intersection between sectors. So the Food Health Nexus project is really exciting. You know, I think the design and manufacturing and the maker movement is also one of those areas where you can have people from different sectors coming together. You know, on the funding side is where the rubber meets the road. And that's probably the hardest challenge is to mix private and public funding. And the report does talk a lot about the capital gap.
Are there examples of good, of well-funded collaborative efforts across the country that you know of that we can point to and say this is what does and doesn't work?
Well, I think the details are starting to emerge about how the nursing education building downtown, I think that project is going to involve an interesting mix of public and private funding. So we have one, I think, in our own backyard. Again, I think the details are coming out slowly.
You mentioned earlier the business climate. In all the business surveys that I've seen, it always comes up that Rhode Island is near last in terms of that business friendliness, and I guess that means regulation. Back in 2010, they had the Office of Regulatory Reform instituted, and I know Governor Chafee has tried to continue that. Have they come out with anything that has significantly reformed the regulations and made it easier to do business here, or are we still talking about it?
No. you know, we're the smallest state by geography. We are the highest unemployment state still 5 years after the collapse. You know, we have some pretty onerous tax burdens. It's still a work in progress.
And speaking of the tax, I know we have the Sales Tax Commission studying that question now, whether to either repeal or reduce the sales tax here. I guess they haven't made any recommendations yet. They're still talking about it, but that's another thing that would be a good idea to look at.
You know, I honestly, there's a lot of conversations about different taxes. We got the historic tax credit passed last year. There's the estate tax. There's a conversation, going to be happening in the legislature this year about employment tax breaks, which is a way to link tax to the employment problem. My suspicion is that we'd get more traction if we just did some regulatory reform. So the cost of doing business in any jurisdiction is a combination of how long it takes and how much time and money it takes to get licenses and permits and to go through the regulatory hurdles and the tax rate. And I think we could do well to just focus our attention on the regulatory side for for the moment leave the tax stuff out. You know, the state has such such a fiscal burden. I think we could just forget the taxes for a while, focus on the regulation, and make some progress.
We've talked about it. You know, I mean, right. And when we talk to people in business and we ask them, you know, we survey them every 6 months and we ask, you know, what are the issues for you? Taxes are an issue, but the bureaucracy is a bigger issue on a regular basis. I mean, you know, so it really makes a difference, I think, in how a company operates.
You're listening to The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Chuck Henman, along with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy, and our guest this week, Dr. Sylvia Maxfield, Dean of the Providence College School of Business. Another problem in Rhode Island, of course, you mentioned earlier, the unemployment rate continually down or up at the top of the list of states. And the skills gap comes up there when you talk about that, and that drags in education and the whole brouhaha over education reform. Is there anything that can be done on a small scale rather soon that would help close that skills gap and try and get the workforce better educated?
Well, Make It Happen 2.0 has a whole section on education reform and the skills gap. You know, I think there have been a couple of things. A study that was done a couple years ago by the Providence Chamber of Commerce showed that if students in our colleges did an internship in state while they were pursuing their four-year degree, they were more likely to stay, and that therefore STEM brain drain. And we did see an internship database created for the whole state, and any college student is able to access that. And any business is able to post an internship there. And, you know, I think that's going a long way towards at least letting some of our great students at Brown and at URI and at Providence College and at Bryan and at RISD know that there are opportunities here. And they get into those jobs and then they see that this is a vibrant place to live, and they start to imagine maybe making their homes here. You know, the skills gap, I think that's a little bit of a red herring. I think if we had an employment tax credit, we would find that there might not be so much conversation about the skills gap. I mean, TACO is a great example, though. They have some very particular skills that they need, and they work with local educational institutions to make sure that they get workers with those skills. Those are decent jobs compared to food service, for example.
Right.
Well, and they also invest a lot in worker training. I mean, that's something that you used to see, or at least you had a sense that you had more of that training in the past, and then it sort of went away, and it's especially, I think, important as the workforce changes. As baby boomers retire, they're taking a lot of institutional memory and things they've learned on the job, and now you have people who had no connection to it, and so someone's got to be doing more training, and the question is whether it could be the companies through tax credits. There's a talk about community college, those kinds of things, and so there's a need. I mean, we talk to enough employers.
Well, New England Tech is growing. It's one of the fastest growing educational institutions in the state. And that's because they're meeting some of the very particular needs. You know, the problem is this is a pretty diverse economy. And so for any particular institution like mine to launch a program, you know, it might serve a relatively small number of positions.
Seems like the key to some of this, or maybe all of it, is better collaboration among all of the interested parties here, the government, the companies, the education institutions.
Yeah, you know, I worry a little bit about government, and maybe I'll be showing my political stripes here. But again, we talk a lot about the capital gap. I'd rather see self-funding from the private sector or carefully structured public-private partnerships, because I worry about the misallocation of funds when it comes from the public sector. Maybe that's just the hangover from, Kurt Schilling's project.
This has been The Bottom Line. Thanks to our guest, Dr. Sylvia Maxfield, Dean of the Providence College School of Business. Thanks as well to Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy. I'm Chuck Henman for Rhode Island Public Radio.
Support for The Bottom Line comes from Bank RI, a local bank creating financial solutions to help small businesses grow and succeed. More at bankri.com.